The Bible tells us that once, when the Jewish people were going through extremely difficult days, God gave them a beautiful promise in the book of Hosea. He said, "I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope." Did you know that God will do this for you too if you'll trust Him? He'll turn your difficulty into a door to a better life. Your adversity will become the access point to better days. Anybody can bring good out of good, but God specializes in bringing good out of bad situations. He can change the opposition you face into an opening for new opportunities. He can open up a path through problems that seem impossible to get around. And as you listen to this broadcast each day, and you take the steps toward new hope, I am excited to lead you as a friend on this spiritual journey. I want you to remember what God has said in His Word. Watch out for the new things I'm going to do. It's happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water in the desert. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part 3 of a message called Making the Hard Changes in Me.
You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible says, out of the issues heart are the issues of life. That the way you think, we talked about this many times, the way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change the way you act, you don't like the way you act in a crowd. You know, you act nervous, you act goofy, you don't know what to say. You know, if you want to change the way you act, you've got to change the way you feel. Because if you're acting nervous, it's because you feel nervous. But if you want to change the way you feel, you've got to change the way you think. You can't focus on the feeling. You can't fight a feeling. You can't force a feeling. But you can change the way you feel by changing the way you think. Because every feeling is determined by a thought. Now, if you say, I'm not acting very loving to my wife because I don't feel very loving to my wife, you need to change the way you think about your wife. And that is a choice. You can't control your feelings, but you can control your thoughts. And if you change your thoughts and you start thinking loving thoughts toward your husband, toward your spouse, toward whoever, it's going to change the way you feel, and that's going to change the way you act. Now, this is what the Bible says in verse 23. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You're not going to change until your thoughts change, until your attitudes change. This is why a daily quiet time is important. Why every day you need to spend 4, 5, 10 minutes at least where you get alone with God for 5 minutes and you sit down and you be quiet and you open the Bible and you read the Bible a little bit and you talk to God about whatever's on your mind. That's called prayer. You listen to God through the Bible. You talk to God in prayer. You just be quiet. You say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? That is the spiritual renewal in your mind. If you're not doing that, you're not going to have the power to change. Now, you know what a change of mind is called in Scripture? You know what the theological term is? It is the word repentance. To repent literally means to change your mind. Now, a lot of people think repent is a bad word. No, it's a good word. It's a positive word. People think repentance is this guy trying to scare people, you know, out of hell into heaven. It's the guy with a long beard holding a sign on the street corner saying, you know, the end of the world is coming, repent. And he's got on a sandwich board that says, repent, turn or burn. You're going to die and fry while we go to the sky. No, that's not repentance. Repent. The word repent actually is the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia means to change your mind. That's what it means, to change your mind. It means a mental U-turn. And it means when I repented, I changed my mind. I turned from life, from death to life. I changed from sin to forgiveness. I turned from guilt to peace of mind. I returned from pressure to joy. I turned from hell to heaven. I turned from my way to God's way. I turned from stress to confidence. It was the most positive change in my life when I repented. I would have done it years sooner if I knew what it involved. It wasn't something I regretted doing, repented. It was the greatest decision of my life. I turned from regret to sheer peace of mind and forgiveness. And when I repented, I changed my mind about everything. I changed my mind about me. I changed the way I saw God. He's not mad at me. He's mad about me. I changed the way I saw life. I changed the way I think about money. I changed the way I think about heaven and hell. I changed the way I think about sex. I changed the way I think about the problems I face in life. I changed the way I think about other people. I changed the way I think about everything in life, my parents, my past, my present, my future. That is what it means to repent, a mental U-turn. How many of you have a GPS in your car? Okay, bunch of you do, all right. Some of you, you've got ones that speak aloud, mine does. And if I'm out there and I make a defective turn, it will often tell me, make a U-turn as quickly as possible. Now, the wisdom shows up in my life on how quickly I make a U-turn. And when God says to repent, he's saying, I want you to make a U-turn as quickly as possible. You're headed down the wrong track. You're going the wrong way. It's not going to take you where you want to go. It says you've got to change the way you're thinking. And you've got to fill your mind with the truth, not the lie.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Making the Hard Changes in Me from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Defects are often strengths being misused. That's a new way of thinking. My defects are often my strengths being misused. You've probably never thought of that. But that's a repentance. That's a change of mind. My defects are often the strengths God gave me being misused. For instance, maybe God gave you a strength of discernment. And you've got a phony meter in your brain that can smell out a fake just like that. And you know, when you get around some poser and your phony meter goes ding, 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 this guy's a fake. This girl's a fake. You know, by the way, the only people that posers impress are other posers. Because everybody else can see through it. But maybe you have a natural discernment. That's a good thing. But if you don't know how to use it correctly, incorrectly used, you'll get judgmental. You'll be critical. You'll be tempted to judge other people all the time. It's a good quality being misused. Maybe you have a strength in detail. And you're detail-oriented. And you could see details and you notice things that other people... Thank God we have detailed people in the world. I'm not one of them. But thank God we... I mean, if I'm having brain surgery, I want that surgeon to be a detailed person. I don't want to go, oh, what's that piece? Oh, forget it. Throw it over there, you know. We don't need that part, you know. Just cram it back there in the corner. No, I want my brain surgeon to be as detailed as possible. Okay? But if you're a detailed person and you misuse that God-given gift, you're going to become picky, you're going to become finicky, you're going to be unpleasable, and you are difficult to live with because you're a detailed person. On the other hand, you may be a big-picture person. And thank God for big picture people. We need people who can see the big picture, people who can look 3, 5, 10 years ahead. I'm a big picture kind of person. And I'm always trying to think ahead for you because some of you aren't. And if you're a big picture person, that's a good thing. But if you don't understand the weakness behind that, you will overlook people because you're always looking at the picture. Now, God loves to put opposites together and watch the sparks fly. So detail people always marry big picture people. You know, as I've said many times, when people, before marriage, opposites attract, and then after marriage, opposites attack. And all those things that you thought were so cool about your spouse now irritate you to death. And before you got married, you go, man, how does she think like that? That is so cute. You know, what attracted you to your boyfriend or your girlfriend is they're different from you. It is the differences that attract you. You go, wow, I've never seen anybody who thinks that way. It's just so fascinating. Now, 6 months into the relationship, you're going, could you be a little bit more like me? I mean, that's irritating now. And so maybe you're an amiable person. That's your natural giftedness. And you're like, nobody bugs you. It's easy to get along with you. You can just go along to get along. You're very amiable. But if you use that incorrectly, you're going to let people walk all over you. And you're going to be a doormat. And it actually becomes a defect. A strength can become a defect. So you got to change the way you think. Philippians 2 verse 5 says this. Let the same mind and attitude be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Now, God wants you to learn to think like Jesus. How do you do that? Well, again, it's a choice. You've got to make a choice and say, Lord, how would Jesus think about this? And the more you fill your mind with the Word of God, the easier that's going to be. All right, quickly, write these other three down. The fourth change that is required is that change requires the Holy Spirit. You need more power than just willpower in your life. You need God's power in your life. Again, we talked about this in detail last week. You might get that message in Romans chapter 8. Verse 24 says this, you must put on your new nature. And you can't do that with willpower. You must put on your new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Now, what he's talking about here is what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. These are the qualities that God puts in your life when the Holy Spirit lives through you. And the Bible says there are 9 of those qualities. They are love and joy and peace and gentleness and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and self-control and faithfulness. There are 9 of these qualities. And how does God produce the fruit in your life? Not by willpower. You don't go out and say, I'm going to be a more patient person. Doesn't work. I'm going to be a more joyful person. Doesn't work. I'm going to be a lot more loving person. Willpower does not work. Fruit is an inside job. The Holy Spirit has to grow it on the inside. You trying to say, I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more loving. It's like saying, I think I'm going to go out and tie a bunch of apples on my tree outside. And you got these apples tied on. I'm going to go out and take my, you know, the eucalyptus tree in the front. And we're going to tie some oranges on it and call it an orange tree. It doesn't work that way. Fruit can only come from the inside. It's got to be His Spirit living through you. Now, how does the Holy Spirit work in your life? The answer is gradually, a little bit at a time. Look at this next verse. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. Circle more and more. That means it's a gradual process. It's step by step. It's not instant. It's incremental. Now, when God wants to make a mushroom, He takes 6 hours. When God wants to make an oak tree, He takes 60 years. The question is, do you want your life to be a mushroom or an oak tree? As your pastor who loves you, I can help you get from here to here. I can help you grow to be the person you want to be, but I cannot show you how to do it overnight. There is no such thing as instant maturity. It takes time. It is a small, step-by-step, gradual, incremental, more and more process. You see, you didn't collect your hurts, habits, and hang-ups overnight. It took you a long time to get as messed up as you are. I mean, it just didn't happen overnight. Sometimes I'm out on the patio and somebody comes and says, Pastor Rick, I need you to solve my marriage problem. I said, well, how long have you been married? 15 years. How long have you had this problem? 10 years. And you want a five-second answer? It ain't going to happen. You got to peel that onion, that baby, one layer at a time. The Holy Spirit works within us, become gradually more and more like Him. You've got to develop new habits to change. And that's what your character is, the sum total of your habits. We call these habits the spiritual disciplines. And we have a set of classes here at Saddleback that teach you the habits for growth. They're called class 101, 201, 301, and 401. And if you haven't taken those classes, you need to take them. And if you've forgotten those habits, you need to go back and take it again. Take class 201, 301, 401 again, because those habits will help you keep growing. These spiritual disciplines are the building blocks of defeating the defects in your life. Number five, this is a big one. Change requires honest community. In other words, you're going to have some people in your life who tell you the truth and you listen to it. You're not going to get well on your own. You're going to need other people in your life. You're going to need support. You're going to need a small group. Change requires honest community. There are some things in your life you're never, ever going to be able to change on your own. Now, typically, the things that are most difficult in your life, you don't want anybody else to know about. They're the things you want to hide in the closet. They're the things you don't want to tell. They're the things you're most embarrassed about. They're the most deep-seated problems and fears in your life. And you know what? You're never getting over them until you share it with one other person. Now, you don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to tell the whole world. You just need to find one person. That's why we have small groups who will trust you, you trust them, they're confidential, they're going to love you unconditionally, they're not going to judge you, they're going to support you, they're going to pray for you, and you're going to pray for them. But revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. You got to have one person, gut level honest. You don't have to have a lot of people, but you need to have at least one. Some things are so big in your life, you have to team tackle them to take them down. You got to have two linemen tackling that guy to pull him down, because one guy isn't enough. You're going to need small groups. You're going to need support. But it's not just a small group where you get together and go, hey, how's it going? Well, it's going great, and everybody lives at a superficial level. You got to get to that level of maturity where you're saying, you know what? I had a tough week this week. Life sucked, and here's what happened. No, we're not talking about therapy groups. We don't have therapy groups in this church. We're not trying to psychologize each other out. What we have is people who love each other. And when times are tough, I need to tell you what's tough in my life. And when you're having a tough time, you need to have somebody to talk to. Gut level authenticity. This is verse 25. It says, put away all falsehood. That means all the faking it, all the phoniness, all the pretending like you got it all together. Put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth about you, because we belong to each other. Circle the word belong. If you're a believer, you're also a belonger. You belong in the family of God, and every other believer belongs to you. They're your brother, they're your sister, and we belong to each other. You cannot become until you belong. You can't become what God wants you to be until you belong in a group that's going to have gut-level, honest community. Put away falsehood. Talk to your neighbor. Tell your friend the truth. Because we belong to each other. Now, let me just say it this way. Listen closely. If you are serious about changing the deepest hang-ups in your heart, the deepest defects in your life, you're going to have to face the fear of being honest. You got to stop faking it. You got to put away falsehood. You got to be real. Now, you can go through life with one of two choices: pretending you've got it all together or getting it all together. But you'll never get it all together as long as you pretend you've got it all together. And you're never going to get well, get healed, get rid of that area that's bugging you in your life till you talk to somebody about it. Say, why? God wired it that we need each other. That you don't get healed on your own. You don't get well on your own. You don't grow on your own. You got to face up to your fear of being honest with maybe just one or two, not a lot of people. Now, as your pastor, I want you to succeed. I pray for your success in all seven key areas. I pray for that. But here's what the Bible says on the screen. You'll never succeed. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up, then God will spank your pants. No, that's what it says. It says, then God will what? Show mercy. A lot of times, I'm afraid to tell God my sins. Oh, like he doesn't know? He's just waiting to show mercy. He's just waiting to show mercy. It says, confess, then you'll be succeeding. Some of you say, why am I not succeeding? Because you got hidden sin. Why am I not succeeding? Because you're hiding your defects.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. Now, in order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the three main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it's critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. So just go to rickwarren.org today to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Satan wants to establish a foothold in your life in order to take over more and more of your life. He wants to establish a beachhead in your heart. And once he gets deep enough into an area of sin, he turns that foothold into a stronghold. And that makes it harder for you to take back control of your life. Now, how does he do this? How does Satan get a foothold in your life? Well, one example is in Ephesians 4:27, which deals with the issue of anger. But it could be any negative emotion. If you fill your life with worry, Satan has a foothold in your life. If you fill your life with resentment, he's got a foothold in your life. If you allow guilt to turn into shame, Satan has a foothold in your life. Now, the Apostle Paul says the best way to deal with these negative emotions is immediately. He says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. That's Ephesians 4:27. You got to make a choice, and the choice is to deal with it right away. Otherwise, that negative emotion will fester in your heart and give Satan the opportunity to establish a foothold in your life. And soon the foothold becomes a stronghold. Be sure to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.